Hello and welcome back to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, May the 8th.
Nerd!
Thank you, Ogre.
Geek!
Stampede, that's the name of our website.
Yeah, I know the name. I did that. That was
you weird. Read it? Were you about to say, yeah, I read the website. I read the URL, Rob.
Yeah, I can read the URLs.
I can read the Earls.
Oh, Earls is good.
I went to Earls 2 weekends ago, and I had a really delicious sandwich, actually.
They have good stuff. They have good wings, too.
Do they? Never had
wings
at Earls.
I like them.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap us up here tonight for a light week. I am Joey G, and with me this week is...
Robbie G. Hello.
We're related. We're also flying solo. Well, it's hot.
I know. I'm just...
I am always sweaty, though. I'm just gross.
Chris couldn't make it today from Alpha. He tweeted... He direct messaged me
saying
that he couldn't make it. He was going to come.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then
Ryan
going to
come here?
No one
talked to me. Oh, cool.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
he was either going to come here or we were going to go there.
Okay.
But all I got was a message this morning saying, sorry, I can't make the podcast.
No worries. So maybe next week we'll see him. But yeah, Ryan Heth is off this week. He's on location in Iraq.
Yeah.
He's fighting the Taliban.
Yeah, he's doing a very bang-up job.
Yeah. And by bang-up, you mean... He's just having sex with all kinds of women in burqas.
The tally broads.
The tally broads. That's funny. So it falls to us to have a look at what really, for me, was a pretty light week. I only had 3 comics this week.
That's crazy.
Well, I had 4, but one was for my mom.
Aww.
Grimm, number 1.
Aw, did she like it?
I don't know. I haven't talked.
Oh, did you not give it to her?
I gave it to our sister.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Here's Grimm. Grimm. 2 M's. Grimm.
She likes that show.
Is it based on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Dynamite's doing the comic of the show.
This was my lightest week, but I still got tons of stuff.
Yeah, I only got 3 things, but one of them is my favorite, so we'll leave that one off, hidden away. And I'll let you, Rob, start us off while I look for some news stories, because we're going to run out of books to talk about. Really
well, there's also we can talk about... anyway.
This is our first show since Free Comic Book Day, so we'll be able to talk about that as well.
Free Comic Book Day. Okay. I'll do a quick segment called Robbie G Reads DC, because no one else will with him. Robbie G Reads DC, everyone else thinks it's swell.
Dude, that's the ice cream song.
Ice cream. Na, 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 na. Okay, so I read a bunch of DC books this week. I read 5 DC books. So the big one...
I didn't
know
there were 5 DC books this week.
So the big one... Okay. It should be big, but I don't think anyone really cares about it. I hope it sells well, because I enjoy it. It is Justice League of America by Geoff Johns and David Finch. David Finch's artwork is starting to grow on me in these books, because he's got really good inkers on him. And his stuff looks a little bit rounder instead of everything flat. Which is, Richard Friend. Aw. That's cute. Richard Friend and David Finch both do the ink. So I think the artwork in this book, even though it's not particularly to my tastes, I think it's done really well. So the story is very by the numbers. The Justice League of America is just getting together, and he's putting together this group to fight against the Justice League. And then, so they're trying to infiltrate the Society of Villains or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
the Secret Society
Secret
Super Villains?
Yeah, they're trying to infiltrate that. So Catwoman sneaks in. Catwoman being on the team is kind of dopey, but they explained it kind of in the first issue. She's basically like a Suicide Squad member. She's being held for ransom, basically. And
right.
And they sneak her into this compound. So that part was interesting. They fight these mech Justice Leaguers, which was a really interesting sequence. The problem with Justice League of America is that it's really trying to build up characters that just kind of suck. Like Vibe has the Vibe saved everyone moment, because you can totally feel that flow of the writing where it's like, okay, everyone on this team is very well established. Like, you've got Martian Manhunter, used to be a Justice Leaguer. Green Arrow's got his main title, has forever. Savage Hawkman is huge. Katana, no one knows who the hell she is, or really cares. Who cares? Yeah, Catwoman is, everyone knows who that is. Here's Vibe. What did Vibe do? I don't know. What are Vibe's powers? I don't know. But he had the big moment, and it wasn't particularly groundbreaking or exciting. It was just kind of like, oh, all right. He sucks. He's a stupid character, and I don't get why he gets his own main book, and Martian Manhunter is sequestered to the backups of this book. And you have Matt Kent writing the Martian Manhunter backups, which I think are the best easily the best aspect of this book. I'm a sucker for Geoff Johns, and especially his post 52 stuff, which is
stop being
a fan of Geoff Johns.
I like Geoff Johns.
I love Geoff Johns, but
I haven't actually read or liked anything he's written in the last 5 years.
Because
though,
his post 52 stuff is totally running on autopilot. I kind
of
came to this revelation.
I haven't bought it.
The other day is
that any lately.
I would like really defend his Aquaman stuff and his Green Lantern stuff. Green Lantern now is just, I don't really like it anymore. I'm actually glad he's leaving Green Lantern. He should have left before Sinestro. He should have left before the New 52. It should have been just...
It should have ended at Blackest Night.
Yeah, well, I just...
I know you
that,
like Bravest or Bright New Day or whatever the fuck it's called.
But his post-52 work has been 100% running on autopilot. Like, Justice League is now telling the story of Tower of Babel again. So they, like, the Justice League found all the weapons that Batman has to defend against, just in case one of them gets, you know, goes crazy or something. So that story we've already read if you read Mark Waid's Tower of Babel. Justice League of America is just Justice League International. It's the exact same concept. Aquaman, I don't know what the fuck's going on with Aquaman right now, and I enjoy it, but it's kind of like, I don't know, Aquaman swims around and it's pretty and there's fish. Occasionally he like punches someone. It's pretty good, I guess, but it's a little disappointing because a lot of what I think attracted me to Johns's stuff was like this real fire and sort of ingenuity and like real love for these characters, and he's still got that, but I don't know, he's just
been telling the same story for 10 fucking years.
Yeah, he's running on autopilot. However, that being said, Geoff Johns on autopilot, I still buy everything he writes, so it's still entertaining as hell. Like Justice League of America, if anyone ever asked for a great DC book to jump on, or not even in single issues, just a great DC book to read, I especially if they were getting into superheroes, I would probably suggest to them like the golden, sort like the best stuff of Geoff Johns if they were into that stuff. So, you know, Infinite Crisis, Green Lantern Rebirth, Flash Rebirth, Sinestro Core War.
That's the best story.
Yeah, all those really excellent stories, or even his JSA stuff, which I love. I would not tell them to read the new Justice League. I would not tell them to read Justice League of America. I like it, but I don't think it's nearly as good as his older stuff.
No, it's not. I don't like it at all, but somebody we know who's a new comic book reader seems to really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, he's dumb.
I really like it.
Dumb too.
I am. I enjoy it, but I was talking about this with Chris from Alpha. I was like, if I wanted to show someone an excellent Justice League book, I would not show them New 52 Justice League. I'd show them Grant Morrison JLA. I'd show them Tower of Babel.
I would hand them a showcase while I'd be like, you're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, these are boring. I'd be like, fuck you!
But the best part of this of Justice League of America, it makes it worth every penny, honestly, is the 8-page backup by Matt Kent in the back of each issue. He's done two now. The first one was Martian Manhunter sneaking onto the president's property, or sneaking into his into his staff, basically. It was really cool. And it's basically a spy comic. He's just writing mind management, but with Martian Manhunter. And then this one, he reads Catwoman's mind to try and see if she's lying or not. But eventually it becomes this really crazy traveling through the
crazy thing.
Through the brain. Anyway, that's kind of the big one. And then the one that ties into it was Katana. But I'm the only person in the world who even cares about Katana. So
I like the character when
she's
she was
cool
in
character.
Like Birds of Prey and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't give two shiny fucks about her in a solo book.
And that's totally fair. I don't see anyone actually picking it up and being like, this is great.
Props to DC for trying to give different characters a spotlight. But rather than doing that, maybe just make like the characters you already published, make them good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, try to make a good Superman comic. If you could...
Oh, man, they can't pull that off.
Yeah, like, never mind fucking giving Katana a book. How about making Superman readable?
How about not giving Superman to Bob Dell? He's just got all the Superman books now.
Yeah.
Superman and Action Comics. Fuck it.
Well,
I give up.
Well, fuck those clowns.
Anyway, that was Justice League of America. It is enjoyable. Good art. Oh, and...
I like Stargirl.
Stargirl.
Is her name still Stargirl? Or...
Yeah. Yeah.
She's cool.
Well, that's a John's character anyway, so
yeah,
she's great. I love that
character.
I loved her in JSA.
I have the first miniseries, Stars and Stripes, with her.
That was Geoff Johns' first DC book.
I know.
Is it great? I haven't read
it. It's good.
It's good.
I like it. It's fun. It's very like Bronze Agey. It's kind of reminds me of like All Star Squadron and stuff. It's a good time. It's a good time, bro. Well, if we're already talking about DC, I'll talk about one of the books I read, which was DC. And it was Batman, number 20, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, with a backup with art by Alex Malev.
I love shorter little mystery arcs like this.
This was a good arc. I actually really liked it. I liked that it didn't have to have some massive ramifications. It was just a really kick-ass, like, Batman versus Clayface.
I'm kind of... Okay. I know that this won't happen, because this was just the breather between Joker and Year Zero.
Yeah.
But I totally wish that the Snyder stuff was more like this. It was
I agree.
It was toned down and just like...
Everything feels way too epic.
Yeah, and the fact that it has massive ramifications for the entire universe. And I know that that's the point of having a shared universe. I'm so sick of fucking ramifications.
The best part of this issue, though, was the Batman Begins armor.
Wasn't that cool?
The Batman Beyond armor, excuse me.
Yeah,
that was my favorite part. Cool. I was like, oh, it's so cool. It's Batman armor.
I also love when Clayface is changing all of his limbs to his enemies' faces, like Riddler and Joker.
Yeah.
And Penguin, I thought that was really good. Greg Capullo killed it on this issue. It was great.
Well, okay. I have one little thing I would point out, though.
Yeah?
Like, Clayface doesn't... Clayface figures out, or at least he thinks he figures out, that Batman is Bruce Wayne. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he does it later on after he's knocked the face mask shield out of Batman's armor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he's driving his motorcycle, and it's Bruce Wayne... It's Clayface Bruce Wayne. He has Batman uniform underneath his shirt.
Wait, didn't he know that last issue?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he knew that last issue.
Maybe not. Because I thought it was when he broke the glass on his... Because otherwise, why would Batman take the thing off his face? I thought that it was right here when he says, go to hell. That's when the tendril goes into his mask and touches him on the lips.
Oh, that's because Clayface has the ability then to absorb all of his details and become...
That's what I'm saying. He's trying to figure out... He's touching Batman there to discover who Batman is. And he goes, ah, Bruce Wayne. That's who Batman is, of course. But when he was already transformed into Bruce Wayne earlier, he's wearing a Batman uniform under his coat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. At that part...
When he's riding the motorcycle, look. This page right here, when he's giving the...
Yeah, you're right.
You can see when he's saluting the crashed cops, he's got a Batman uniform under his shirt.
Well, when I go home tonight, I totally want to reread this
Look at
arc.
The previous one, but like...
So I'm going to see...
It's just because it's when he... That's why Batman puts on this armor, so Clayface can't get into it. Then he smashes the face mask, and his tendril goes into the Batman mask, right? That's when Commissioner Gordon goes, no.
Oh, no, it would make sense because Bruce Wayne is the big Batman...
Yeah, well, why is he wearing a Batman costume under his clothes?
Because he's advertising his...
It's not like he's wearing a t-shirt that says Batman Incorporated.
I'm
he's
trying
wearing
to defend it, but
Batman
you're right.
Uniform.
I'm trying...
I think it was just Greg Capullo forgot what happened when, and he drew it wrong. I don't think it's
Possibly.
A huge deal.
I want to read it again, because it was really enjoyable. But
and I'll be honest,
really
I didn't notice it when I first read it.
I just noticed it now when
you were talking, and I was like, wait a second.
The ending was really heartbreaking.
Yeah, I didn't actually particularly... Well, that's not true. I did like the Ghost Lights part, too.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun little... I mean, it's always weird when it's like ghosts versus Batman, but...
Yeah.
I liked it. I mostly just like the ending with, oh, great, now you're doing it to me.
I did... I like the way James Tynion actually wrote Superman. I thought it was really... I love the relationship between Batman and Superman. And then, speaking of the relationship between Batman and Superman, there's a bit in Superman for... I just picked up Superman for Tomorrow from Alpha Comics. He's got a bunch of copies in anticipation of the movie. And there's a chapter in there that's like Superman versus Batman. And it's retarded.
It's because there was a Superman versus Batman chapter in Hush.
Yeah, but...
This was Jim Lee's next project.
This pissed me off because the way that Superman fights Batman, he has this conversation with him about how, I respect you, Batman, but I don't like you. And it's like, but they're supposed to be best friends. What are you talking about? He doesn't like Batman. Of course he likes Batman. What the fuck?
Honestly, it varies from book to book. Sometimes Batman and Superman are friends. Sometimes they aren't.
It was dumb.
I would say that while I don't say you're wrong, I would say the entire book is shitty. So that one chapter being shitty didn't bother or surprise me. I was just like, this whole book fucking sucks. And I like Brian Azzarello, but this is like the worst fucking comic.
It's easily the worst thing I've ever read. By Brian Azzarello.
I bought this as it was coming out in issues.
It's Brian Azzarello doing something that he had no business doing. It's The Wire if The Wire was actually a musical for one episode. If, like, randomly Omar in...
See, but that would be good.
No, that would be horrible.
No, dude.
Okay, I'm trying to think of a better example.
You gotta remember who your audience is here.
That's a good point. Okay.
Yeah, I remember buying this when it came out and, like... the first two issues, I was like, I'm kind of into this. And by the end, I was just like, oh my god, this sucks. Why is this priest here? I don't know what's going on.
The priest in this story is absolutely superfluous.
But it was like, it was right after Hush, and Jim Lee was on the Hush high.
Yeah.
And then this book.
Jim Lee did great work.
It looks good.
It's just the, I don't know, Brian Azzarello really had no business writing a book like this because he can't really pull it off, because all he can do is write Batman as Superman. That's all he did. Mm. It's just Batman, but dressed as Superman, and it didn't work. And even though Brian Azzarello is one of my favorite writers, his voice is really, really distinct. So when you put it in a book like that, it Brian Azzarello speaking through Superman doesn't work at all.
I agree.
It's just not good.
At least not in that book. It's still, and I still want to say, hey, DC, thanks for always adding in those two useless pages in the back of Channel 52 that we all love to skip over.
Oh, yeah. I read the first one. The first week
they did it. I thought it was part of the book.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? It's a goddamn advertisement. Fuck you.
It's really bad.
What's a goddamn advertisement? It sounds like a fucking chimp.
Oh, this is stupid. I hate everything. Oh my god. It's Razor Crew.
Constantine is okay. Alright, moving on.
It was alright. Well, moving on.
I'm
sad that you still buy that book.
Constantine?
Yeah.
I'm sad that I still.
I know. I just think it's a bummer. I wish that book had sold zero copies.
I kind of because
then DC would have been like, "Well, I guess we made a mistake." They wouldn't have, but still,
they fucked up so hard by canceling Hellblazer,
by doing so many things.
I know.
Jesus. Remember when DC used to be awesome?
Yeah, it's so sad. I read a review of the new Constantine series, and like, Ray Fox is good, very good.
I'm sure it's a decent comic.
Renato Guedes, also good. It is a decent comic, but
don't
like Shining,
do
like,
it.
Even oh man, it's not that it's bad. It's that it's literally it's Hellblazer Light, which isn't good.
It is a thing that doesn't need to be there.
Bother doing it because it's not good. Like if this was the only comic that if this was like the beginning of John Constantine and they decided to put him in his own series, I would really like this book. But because I've read 300 issues of Hellblazer that blow it out of the water, even the shitty issues of Hellblazer, which there are very few, like it's just depressing. But Renato Guedes in Constantine was spectacular. He's actually a really great artist. I've read a bunch of his Superman stuff too.
Word.
Yeah. Did you read any Marvel stuff?
No, I didn't get a single Marvel book this week. What came out?
You got Avengers, Thor,
Wolverine,
Uncanny Avengers.
Wasn't there an Arena as well?
There was an Arena. I don't read Arena anymore, though, unfortunately. I dropped a couple Marvel books because I was getting like 20. I was getting a lot. So I, although I miss it, I don't read Deadpool anymore, and I don't read Avengers Arena anymore, and I don't read Savage Wolverine anymore.
Really? It was only a 5-issue miniseries.
Yeah, I know. Who's taking over after, though?
Joe Mad.
Right, Joe Mad's awesome.
Yeah.
But of the Marvel stuff, Avengers was great, but it was my least favorite Avengers.
Really?
It's Shang-Chi and Black Widow and...
See, that's like my kind of team.
And
Shang-Chi, dude.
And Spider-Woman and Captain Marvel.
Who's the guy with the spiky head and the armor? What is that? Is that Sunspot?
I don't remember.
Did they change... Well, because Sunspot's armor doesn't look like that in... Kenny Avengers.
No, it is Sunspot. Sunspot and Cannonball.
Well, why is he wearing stupid weird armor?
I don't know. That's Black Widow's also wearing stupid weird armor.
Why?
Sunspot and Cannonball.
What is Black Widow wearing? What the fuck is going on in that cover?
I don't know.
And what happened to... I mean, first, the hair is totally wrong for Captain Marvel, too.
Yeah, she's got a ponytail.
She's
this
supposed
one.
To have a fucking, like, mohawk.
Yeah. But she's also dressed like Shang-Chi. She's dressed like a samurai.
Oh, maybe they're all supposed to be wearing, like... Oh, yeah, because Black Widow looks like fucking Naruto. They're all,
her haircut.
Yeah,
is,
they're all supposed to be like this is
Spider Woman has Roruno Kenshi. What was the name of that?
Roruno Kenshi. Roruno Kenshi. That's a really good book.
This, it is actually. I loved that book. This was a great issue, but it was my least favorite. I think you'd actually really like this. It was totally Ocean's 11.
Oh, what the fuck! I want to read that. That sounds awesome.
It was pretty awesome. It was my least favorite Avengers, but that's not exactly saying much because my least favorite Avengers is like A New Hope is my least favorite Star Wars of the three original Star Wars. Like, it's still fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
Thor God of Thunder was everyone's favorite this week, and it was very good.
Let me look at it with my eyeballs.
Very good. It's very
and
good.
With my
Joey.
Ball balls. testes.
The God Bomb storyline is really cool.
God Bomb.
I also love that what Jason Aaron has done is he's kind of extended the first arc, and it's now becoming bigger and bigger. And now you've got
I just like
Thor,
that it's like
young Thor and
mythology
Thor.
Thor. You're not seeing Thor running around with Spider-Man. It's just like
it's all three of those Thors now. They meet up in the very end, and they're all on a boat.
Now we let the hammers talk. You should have just said, now it's hammer time. That's what would happen if Joey wrote Thor comics. Every issue would just have him saying, hammer time!
Also, Jason Aaron doing especially the narratives, and the not even just the narratives, his dialogue for Thor is perfect.
Because y'all like, halt! Hammer time!
Yeah. Yes. He is an MC Thor.
Wick ass.
Jason Aaron's doing an excellent job on Thor: God of Thunder.
I will read some trade paperbacks of that at some point.
You'd love it, actually. You'd really enjoy it.
Really? I'd love it. Maybe I'll wait for a oversized hardcover then.
You'd really like it. It's Jason Aaron at his best.
The more you tell me I'll like it, the longer I'll wait to pick up the more expensive version of it.
Okay.
I should wait 10 years for the Absolute when it gets owned by DC. That doesn't really make sense. Never mind.
I also got Wolverine. Walrus Reen.
Oh, why? He's a walrus.
Yeah, by Paul Cornell and Alan Davis. And I love this book so much. It's getting so much better, too. Each issue just gets better. It's Cosmic Wolverine, dude.
Alan Davis.
And Alan Davis rules. And I love that I've come to adore Alan Davis's artwork. It's Cosmic Wolverine. Everyone should be reading this book. Super easy to jump on with the first issue. All Wolverine-centric. It's not Wolverine featuring a billion other people. Nick Fury's in it, kind of, and he just makes fun of him and then just drinks a lot of beer. Joey, that was crazy.
Yawning. I'm tired. I'm a working man.
And The Watcher showed up in the last one, and it's really great. It's a very fun series.
Key.
And it's the Doctor Who guy writing Wolverine. This actually reads like a Doctor Who story, but with a few schnicks.
Wolverine!
And the only other Marvel book I got was Uncanny Avengers.
Snicks, it's Wolverine! X-Men!
Uncanny Avengers.
God, the artwork is good in this book.
Really good. I love that it's back on track. I love that it's...
so need to read this book.
Yeah, you would love it. Rick Remender's stuff for Marvel right now is peak. It's peak.
Is it swagger? Why don't you throw in some more modern buzzwords I don't understand?
Was that? No, I was more describing in regards to his Marvel work. Like, before Marvel
you
now,
say it's
hit the peak
it's
of his
Marvel
work.
It's him at his peak.
Yeah, I know.
It's peak, dog. We're going to hear that like on TRL sometime.
Your dog.
Do they still have TRL? Is that still a thing?
What's TRL?
Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
With Carson Daly? Do you have any idea how old Carson Daly is now?
No. Is he not on TV anymore?
I don't think so.
I thought he did like America's Top 40 thing. I thought he did all
those... Isn't that Casey Kasem?
No. Someone took over for him,
I
think.
He's even older.
Oh, no. Maybe Casey Kasem... I thought Carson Daly was still doing shit.
Maybe he is.
Who's the guy who's always doing stuff then? I mean, who's the guy from like all those shows and what have you? Carson Daly, Carson Daly has a talk show.
Isn't it the Ryan Seacrest guy you're thinking of?
Oh, Ryan Seacrest, that's who I meant.
That's the America's Got Talent or the American Idol.
He's the host of The Voice, so he's like Bizarro Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Carson Daly. Oh, remember the Canadian equivalent of Carson Daly? Rick the Temp?
Rick the Tampon.
Rick the Tampon. A very good joke.
I also remember does he still do it? Last Call with Carson Daly was the show that was on after Conan O'Brien, which was on after The Tonight Show, so it was on basically in the next day.
Do you still watch Conan?
I haven't watched any of those shows for a long time.
I remember when we watched Conan almost religiously.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it, I don't watch any TV, so I'm not going to watch an hour-long talk show every night.
I watch a lot of TV, but like Netflix. And by a lot of TV, I mean I just watch a lot of
I think Conan is the funniest of all of them. I also like Craig Ferguson, but I really like Conan, but I just don't watch TV, and I'm certainly not going to watch celebrities talk to people. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time
jerking off.
Yeah. Well, okay, not a lot of time. I only last like 10 seconds, but I do it like 20 times a day.
That's your superpower. Hang on a second.
Hang on 10 seconds.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay, I'm better now. Especially when I'm trying to like procrastinate for writing, I'll be like writing.
You're trying to procrastinate? Just like, I need to work later, but I can't. Oh, maybe later I'll procrastinate.
I'll be writing, and then I'll be like, oh, I want to take a break, but I don't want to get up from my desk, because if I get up from my desk, then I'll take like an hour break. So instead, I go on YouTube and I'll just be like, who do I like? And then today I did that and just wrote Vince Gilligan. I like him. And then went on YouTube and just watched Conan O'Brien interview Vince Gilligan for 20 minutes. I was like, Vince Gilligan's cool. And then went back to writing. I spent a lot of time like that. I spend a lot of time scouring the internet for Kurt Busiek interviews. Like, I want to hear what he sounds like. I'm such a nerd.
Busiek's cool.
Busiek's like amazing.
He wrote some of my favorite Avengers stories.
Yeah, Avengers Legends, you lent that to me?
Yeah, but he also had like a long, lengthy run, starting with George Perez in the 90s. After, because there was Heroes Reborn, which was they relaunched all the Marvel heroes and like redesigned them in this like really bullshit epic-y Rob Liefeld. That's where like the Rob Liefeld with Thor at the Captain America tits comes from.
Great.
Like just like the worst stuff ever. And then I think it lasted 13 issues for most of them, and then it was called Heroes Return. They were just like, alright, this was a bad failure, let's not do this now. So they went back to good, and then they relaunched Avengers with Kurt Busiek and George Perez.
That's awesome.
And actually, I have the entire series and issues. I have, starting from that, I have every issue of Avengers up until towards the end of the Bendis run.
That's one of the coolest things ever.
And like,
I want to read that.
What, towards the end of that Busiek run, I don't remember, there may have been a few other writers, but before Bendis started writing it with Disassembled, the last guy who wrote the last like 13 or so issues before Bendis was Geoff Johns.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I did know that. Yeah. I knew that he worked for Marvel like a tiny bit.
I don't really, that's what goes to show too, like at the time, the Avengers books were not the flagship books. The Avengers books were like fucking nothing. They were like the Fantastic Four books.
That's
now.
So weird.
Because the X-Men books were massive.
Oh,
it was because it was all about the X-Men. And then Bendis revived the Avengers.
And then the X-Men
continued to just get less and less play. Until now Bendis is like, okay, the Avengers are the biggest they've ever been. Now I shall write the X-Men.
Yeah, the flow of like, popular comics is based on what Bendis is
basically trying. If Bendis dies, Marvel's fucked.
Oh my god. I was talking about that with, I don't remember who I was talking to about it, but I was talking about like how like five of their best-selling books, they're all Bendis, and like, what if he left? Wouldn't that be
frightening? See, there's the thing. Like, I don't buy any Bendis books now, but not because I don't like them. I just, because they come out so often and I don't get very many comics in general.
He's a prolific
but
guy.
I have yet to read a Bendis comic I didn't like, at least. I think Bendis is an excellent
writer. I haven't read a Bendis comic I didn't
He's
like.
A fantastic writer, and the influence he's had on comics in general is definitely one that was incredibly positive.
It's great because reading his stuff, you can really get into great superhero stuff with his, in the same way that you can with Geoff Johns on DC. But with Bendis, there's more of it. And then also, you can go...
It stays good.
It's always consistent. Oh my god, how many issues of friggin' Ultimate Spider-Man has he written? Almost 200 now.
Well, no.
Because there was like 130
or something.
Maybe
you're right. Maybe it's like 150,
because
160.
There's over... Yeah, if there's that many, there's over 20. There's like 20.
Well, no,
because
the original series ended at like 119 or maybe like 122 or something like
that. Yeah, and then he did another bunch.
And he's got like 16 now. So
way more than that. He's got like, I think issue 25 or 26 came out.
No, of Ultimate Comic Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I don't
absolutely.
So.
I
don't believe you.
Plus there's a point one. But you've got all that, and then if you want to actually like have a gateway into
22, you're right. Ish.
Okay. And then if you want a gateway into creator-owned books, pick up Powers, and Powers is one of the best comics ever. I love Powers so much. If you love Ultimate Spider-Man, like the way that he writes with like the early stuff.
So he's written 182, because there's 160 issues total of Ultimate Spider-Man.
That's
so
many.
He's also written more Avengers comics than any other writer.
Yeah.
Like his entire collected Avengers run is longer than anybody else.
He was there for a decade, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, because he wrote so many different
Avengers
series concurrently.
Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Avengers.
He wrote two volumes of New Avengers. Like, he basically has written more. I think he's written over, like, 230 Avengers comics or something like that.
It's so astounding that none of his stuff gets stale.
Yeah. Well, it depends who you ask. I don't think they do.
I don't think it gets stale at all. I don't know. I've read everything almost. I haven't read his, like, the second volume of New Avengers and Avengers. Like when John Romita did.
They're very good.
That
was actually really good. There's an awesome like Infinity Gauntlet story. Cool. The very beginning of that. And with John Romita. Hey, remember when we did when Newsarama had their list of people they think should be in a Daredevil movie?
Yeah.
Let's do another feature this week called Newsarama puts up a list and we look at it. Remember when Newsarama used to be like a journalist website, and now it's just like top 10 bullshit
that
fuck you.
It's so annoying.
Anyway.
That's also why as much as I enjoy like using the services of iFanboy to get my pull list, like going on there, it's always the same. It's always like,
where do I start with Ant-Man? I'm like, how about Ant-Man number one? Fuck, why do you...
There's always comic book casting, and there's always... where do I start with here? And then there's also comic book upstarts, which is usually cool because it's like an artist that you don't know. Or
where do I start with Batman?
But then there's also...
Just pick up a Batman comic.
Yeah, fuck you. I remember there was one update that they had where the...
Now where do I start? Where do I continue?
No, it just said...
where do I start again?
Oh my god.
Where do I start part two? The where do I start ending? Sorry, I'm running out of gags. Just tell your story.
I'll try to.
I know.
But it was just... and then Rick Remender ruined comics. And you click on it, and it's just a picture of the Four Horsemen from Uncanny Avengers, like, 10 later. And you're like, what? What the fuck?
You're like, where do I start with iFanboy? Where do I even start with this?
And then they also go, they have a weekly piece called Looking Back, and it's basically like...
10 years ago, which was coming out.
What did we get 10 years ago?
See, I only click on that because I was buying comics 10 years ago, so I go, oh, I remember that. I don't mind that one because I'm like, oh yeah, I read that. Anyway, this is Newsarama saying the 10 best comic book-based animated features of all time, which is a mouthful. They could just say 10 best superhero cartoons, but they didn't. So you can
all
tell
time?
Me. Yeah, they're saying of all time.
Okay, I haven't seen...
They're animated features now.
A ton, but I've seen a few.
Well, you're going to hopefully have seen some so you
I've
can
seen,
provide insight.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm relying on you
the
for
All
insight.
The All-Star Superman should be...
How about we wait until we see what they are?
I thought that you were asking me to guess.
No!
Okay, fuck. All right.
I just want you to give your thoughts. Number 10 is Next Avengers Heroes of Tomorrow.
No, I've never seen
it. I've never seen it either. It's the one... I remember when they did it, it's like a bunch of little kids who get like Avengery kind of powers and they fight Ultron. But it, and I remember when I looked at it, I was like, okay, why wouldn't they have just made a movie out of Young Avengers? Like, they literally made up a bunch of other kids, but whatever. I mean, that I like this because it was actually aimed at kids, so.
Oh my god, I had something to say about...
And he actually, and Bendis actually ended up writing these characters into the Marvel Universe.
Can I interject here?
If you must.
There.
Where do I start?
The most recent DC cartoon feature, animated feature, was Superman Unbound. And they went out of their way to make it PG-13 and not direct it towards kids.
Well, Superman just like, show me your pussy, Lois Lane.
Superman swears in it a bunch.
He's like, I'm gonna fuck that pussy.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, write a story about how hard I fucked you.
Yeah, check out my Superman boner.
Yo, Jimmy, get in here. Get some of this
shit.
What
is a Superman? What? Videotape me fucking this broad.
Videotape me fucking up her lane.
Take
get
some
it?
Photos, Jimmy. I don't know, Superman. Faggot. I like how my Jimmy Olsen says, I don't know, Superman.
That seems kind of rude.
You see, my Jimmy Olsen sounds like Rocky. Like Rocky J. Raccoon. Oh, not this trick again, Superman. It never works. This time for sure.
Good Bullwinkle.
I would like my Bullwinkle voice is better than my Rocky. I think it would be great if, like, just imagine if Superman, if someone like took one of the Superman movies and just dubbed all of Superman's dialogue into Bullwinkle's voice. Same dialogue and everything. Easy Myth, I've got you. He comes in from Superman, where did you go to school? What's the matter, you? Hey, Jimmy,
anyway,
watch me pull a rabbit out of my butt.
What do you think
my
about
super butt?
Like, it's based on Brainiac.
Hey, Rocky!
Jeff John's story.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Based on Brainiac, which is one of my favorites.
Fuck you, Brainiac! Fuck!
But it's,
you're green glowing fuckhead.
But he's like super angry all the time, and Supergirl shows up. He's like,
that just makes me...
what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, Superman wouldn't...
That just makes
like
me
that.
Really worried about the new movie. Because if they're trying to make an animated movie, and I have to assume they're trying to make it somewhat in line with the presentation of Superman in the movie.
Maybe.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
Because even
I
if it, because like, look, even if you and I both don't like it, it'll be so much worse because you know Brett's gonna love it, and we'll have to just like, I hope I love it because I hope I love it.
I hope I love it.
A, because I want to love a Superman movie, and B, because I just don't want to have to go down that road.
Yeah, but what do you think about
Superman swearing?
Not even swearing, just like them pushing the for the animated.
Dude,
film,
my
PG-13.
Favorite superhero comics are like the Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane comics from the 60s.
Yeah.
So no, I think that's fucking stupid.
It is fucking stupid.
I'm also the guy who doesn't really like the gritty street level take on Batman that Chris Nolan did. So other than The Dark Knight, which is amazing.
But I'm
I don't agree with that at all. Definitely not Superman.
Some of the best comics ever written. All-Star Superman is my favorite comic ever written. And that's G-rated, it's pretty man. Great. Like, anything Jack Kirby, the New Gods.
Silver Age shit, bro.
Is the
comics
kind of
forgot how to have fun. Superhero comics really forgot how to have fun in the last 20 years.
And it doesn't in any way trivialize, like, the content or even the cosmic nature of it. Like, reading the fourth rule of Jack Kirby stuff is some of the best comics I've ever read.
You think
in my
two things
while
you're reading. You're just like, these are so amazingly cool, and the ideas
everything
and the art.
Is so
and
good.
Then you go, he's not good at writing dialogue, but that's okay.
I love his dialogue.
Really?
It's so adorable. Because,
like,
it's bad,
not
but it's adorable.
Good. It's like, and I will defend Stan Lee's dialogue till my dying breath, but I can't really defend the dialogue in Jack Kirby comics.
I know exactly what you're talking about,
but it's not the
kind of dialogue that makes me go, oh, that's
cute. I mean, you ignore it because you're like, God, this is so cool.
It is.
Anyway.
But the way Mr. Miracle talks is just kind of
Do you mind if I get back on fucking topic? Where do I continue? I know where I've started. We did start. I found one needs to write an article called Joey, Where Do I Continue? And it's like, start with number 9. Thanks, iFanboy. That was me having a conversation with myself.
It was good.
Number 9 is Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. I wholeheartedly agree. This movie fucking rocks.
I never saw it, but I loved
Are you serious?
Everything. I saw all of Batman Beyond, the cartoon.
Dude,
and
this
I
movie
the movies, though.
Is incredible. I think you maybe did, because I remember we rented it once. And
really?
I remember Dad came home, and because we were like not young at this point. Like, we were still living at home, but I think it was like 16 or 17.
Maybe
and Dad's like, what are you watching? Like, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. It was me, you, and Peter. But anyway, it's
great. You're probably right.
It's great.
I'm sure you're right.
You'd like it.
I remember watching Batman Beyond cartoons, and
they were
so
awesome.
Good.
They were very good.
So good.
So number 8, Hulk Versus, which is, there was two shorts. It's Hulk versus Thor and Hulk versus Wolverine. It's very fun. I watched it once, and it was fun.
Cool.
The Marvel animated movies were so much better than most of the DC movies.
Have you seen all of Avengers Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon series?
I've seen the first two episodes.
It's amazing.
I like those first two episodes.
It's amazingly good. I love
it. I just, you know, there's... Whenever I want to watch superhero cartoons, you know which one I turn on.
Justice League? Or Batman Bruce Timm?
Well, okay. Those ones are... I've seen them so many times, though. Now I just pretty much watch Batman Brave and the Bold.
Oh, I do.
Because
that.
It's like...
Yeah.
I love the Bruce Timm Justice League and Batmans. They are some of the best cartoons ever.
Yeah.
My favorite versions of Batman are from those. But Batman Brave and the Bold is like, Batman fights Crazy Quilt, like, more than once. I mean, come on. Look who you're talking to.
Justice League and Justice League Unlimited just went on Netflix. So
Justice League Unlimited is great.
Been staying up to like 4.
The Booster Gold episode of that. And having...
Even the Hawk and Dove episode was really
good. Was
good,
yeah. But just the fact that they get... my mind has gone blank. He's the voice of Fry. Billy West.
Billy West's
Skeets is like the funniest thing ever. It's amazing.
The retelling of For the Man Who Has Everything.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was so
good. Oh my God, it was so good.
That's one of the best Superman stories too.
Yep.
Well, number 7 is Justice League The New Frontier, which is awesome.
It's so good.
It's really good.
I loved that. I have to get that in trade, the Darwin Cook.
I only have volume 1 for some reason.
I want them to, I'm sure they will.
I think
well,
they have
sure
released
they
them in one volume, haven't they?
I hope they will. I checked online, they don't.
Oh, well, there's an absolute.
I want it so bad.
Yeah.
It's
Where
so
do you
good.
Start with those, though?
Volume 1 would be
I was continuing
ideal.
The running gag. Number 6 is Hellboy Storm of Swords. Four words. Hell to the yeah.
Are those good?
Oh, they're fucking awesome.
You know what was
dude.
Great? You know what was the best?
I used
part
the animated Hellboy statue I have as my Christmas tree topper this year.
Oh, Hellboy's the best. My favorite part of this week's Buffy the Vampire Slayer issue, which is fun if you love Buffy, but the best part is Xander wears a BPRD hoodie throughout the whole issue.
Oh, sweet.
And then.
Since when does Xander have an eye patch? Doesn't he get that in the
at
TV
the end
show?
Of season,
yeah, right,
season 7.
Right, right. I don't like season
plucked
7.
Out by Nathan Fillion. I love season 7, but I'm an apologist for that show. I love everything. There's so many Hellboy posters in the background, and like, it's just Jorge Gentí just drawing Hellboy
That's
in the
cool.
background. It's great.
Number 5 on this list is Superman Batman Apocalypse, which is the adaptation of the Jeff Loeb story which reintroduced
stuff,
Supergirl.
Yeah.
No, this was not Ed McGuinness stuff. This
it
was Michael Turner stuff.
I love Michael Turner.
This was then they reintroduced Supergirl into the DC universe. After she'd been gone for a long time.
That's after, since, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths?
No, I don't remember.
Because that I was going through a list of all the trades that I need to go back and get, and I need to get Superman Batman. I need to get all the
Jeff Lowe Superman Batman stuff is really fun. I really like it. Public Enemies is really good. Yeah. Apocalypse is really. Yeah. They're not. It's not called Apocalypse. I forget what it's actually called. It's sort of an adaptation of it. You know, they change a lot in these movies, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Summer Glau was Supergirl, and Ed Asner was the voice of Granny Goodness. Granny Goodness is one of the greatest characters
good
in
for
comics.
Incorporating Ed Asner into anything.
So number four is Batman Dark Knight Returns Part 2. I have seen neither of the Dark Knight Returns animated movies.
I haven't seen either of them either.
I hear they're great.
My roommate actually watched both of them. And the
Kevin
Year
Smith
One adaptation.
Did a commentary for them.
Yeah. Of all the most recent adaptations of those Miller stories, apparently they're all really good. I haven't watched them yet, which is weird.
So number three is Justice League Doom.
It's really good. It's
yeah, that's the Tower
of
Babel story, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Well, actually. I think it was written by Dwayne McDuffie and released posthumously.
Oh,
because Dwayne McDuffie, he also wrote the adaptation for All-Star. Number two, Batman Under the Red Hood. This was really good.
That was so good.
It's a good movie.
I really
enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very good.
That's an adaptation of a Judd Winnick story, the Jason Todd stuff of the Red
Hood.
Yeah,
Hood's most of his run, yeah. And number one, I agree with this because it's my favorite Batman movie of all time from any incarnation, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. I think it's better than any other movie version of Batman we have seen.
I only remember seeing it as a kid, and I thought it was amazing.
It is incredible. It is better than
All-Star Superman isn't on there. I thought the adaptation of All-Star Superman was great, but I'm biased.
I liked it.
Because I've already talked about
that
book three times.
I would have put it on in place, but there's other ones I would have thought would have made this list too that didn't. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of... Batman Gotham Knights is really cool.
I haven't seen that.
All-Star Superman's really good. Yeah, I would have put that on probably.
The Unbound is not very good.
No. Well, no, it's because Batman won't shut up about pussy the whole time. I mean, Superman. Batman's like, Clark, you're going pussy mad.
Clark, you're going pussy mad.
There's too much pussy.
Hold on, everyone.
No one wants to...
If you follow Geek Stampede on Twitter...
Nobody wants to hear this, Clark.
I don't know how to tweet from the...
Notice that I'm doing the Kevin Conroy Batman voice, not the Christian Bale I need a throat lozenge voice.
What the fuck? What? I know that there's like... that this question has been raised a billion times. But what the fuck? Why does he talk like that? It's so stupid.
I mean, the idea... But the problem was the idea was, oh, we established that he does it so no one will understand his voice. It's still dumb. But then when he's alone, remember in the third movie, he goes... So that's what that feels like. It's like there's no one there. Who are you disguising
stupid.
Your voice for?
Oh my
you fucking
God.
Idiot. Catwoman runs away. So that's what that feels like.
Fucking Christian Bale.
I can't believe that just happened.
I have a feeling that like Christian Bale is just an idiot and Jonathan.
No, Christian Bale is cool.
Christopher Nolan just goes, that was a good idea. Do that again. And then he just like eggs him on. He's like, yeah, it was a good idea.
I thought it was really good.
I know that this is like
I'm really happy
that this is
it.
Fodder for comedy
Clark.
And has been for years, but
Clark.
It's so stupid.
Clark, you need to ease up on the pussy.
It's
way too much.
So dumb. Have you seen?
I don't want you to hurt this girl with your powers.
Have you seen the newest College Humor
with
Patton
Oswalt?
With
the penguin? Yeah.
Fuck.
The Riddler
no,
one, I think.
Mr. Fishy.
I think my favorite is still the one with the Riddler.
That one's really good.
He's going to riddle you.
Pretty sure it was helicopters.
That's true.
Final answer. Speaking of animated movies, Marvel has officially announced Disney's first Marvel movie animated, but it's going to be Big Hero 6.
What is that?
Big Hero 6 is like a... their first appearance was in like a... I think they started in Alpha Flight in 98.
I need to read
And then they had like their own miniseries by Scott Lobdell. I mean, they're kind of cool characters, I guess. I just think it's weird that those are the ones they chose.
Have you read anything by Scott Lobdell that you really liked?
I can't really think of very many things I've read by Scott Lobdell, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm sure I have, but I don't know.
Because I don't want to be a douche, and I want to like comics, because I love comics. But
like
everything I've read with Scott Lobdell's name on it, man.
You know what you do like
cup of tea.
Is Fables, and Fables has a video game coming out this summer.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
I guess, yeah. I've never heard of it. It sounds kind of... It's like an episodic adventure game from Telltale. Oh, Telltale makes great games. That is... Now I'm excited.
I want to play it. Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you excited for the unwritten crossover with Fables?
I mean, am I excited? No. I'll read it when I get to those in the trades. I'm not, like, upset about it or dreading it. I can't say that I care at all.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I thought that was your favorite book.
The Unwritten?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't care about it crossing over with Fables. Like, I'm sure it'll be fine, but if I had my druthers, I was like, I'd rather you not go going to another universe. I liked The Unwritten Way. But you know what? I haven't read it yet, and I'm sure it'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
But I'm also behind in the trades, so I can't get excited about what's coming when I don't even know where we're at.
Have
you
read
what I mean?
The Wound?
The Wound?
The Seventh.
No, I haven't read The Sixth. What's The Sixth?
War of the Words? War of the Words.
Okay, that was the last one I read in the issues. I haven't got the trade, though.
Okay.
So no, I haven't read The Wound.
Okay. I read something interesting today.
I doubt that.
That I wanted your opinion on.
Well, I'll be happy to give it.
Hot button topic.
Oh, we're going hot button here.
Hot button.
Hot button.
Hot button for comics is...
Let's do it. Okay, tell me, describe the issue while I pour water into a glass.
It was something that I didn't realize would actually be an issue for anybody, but after 10 Grand got released, the JMS book...
I haven't read it yet. I did buy it, but
did it come out last week or when did it
No,
come
it out?
Came out.
I bought it on Free Comic Book Day, but it came out before that.
Okay. So JMS puts 10 grand on Image.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people and a lot of creators, like apparently Brandon Graham and some other people, who are upset that he's allowed to do that post before Watchmen. Think that him producing comics on Image is ridiculous, being that he was associated with Before Watchmen. And I know what I think about it, but I'm curious what you think about it.
I think that those guys are so fucking retarded.
Just people who complain about it?
Yeah, like, fuck you guys. Like, this guy did Before Watchmen comics. Like, so I guarantee if Darwin Cook was like, hey, can I do an Image series? They'd all be like, oh, Mr. Cook, please come into our bosom. But just because it's like JMS, who has a history of people thinking... having problems with him, and then the whole Before Watchmen thing. And I do think that of all the people involved in Before Watchmen, JMS was a fucking douche about it. But, I don't know, whatever.
See...
just don't buy them.
I'll tell you what I thought.
Just don't buy them.
The exact same thing that you thought. But also, I thought this. I thought, like, JMS releases a creator-owned book from Image.
Yeah.
And then people are pissed because after, well... if you care so much about creator-owned comics, why would you associate yourself with Before Watchmen? But this is also the guy who made Babylon 5 and just pissed and moaned because he said that Star Trek ripped him off. So he...
I mean, they did, but yeah.
They did, but ultimately, like, that guy gets really mad because that's my idea. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. And then Alan Moore says the same thing, and so he does it anyway. He does the exact same thing that he was complaining about.
I agree.
But so my only opinion was just that I don't think it makes him an awful person. I think it just makes him who he is. Like, that's...
I think...
like, who cares? He's just kind of a dingus to begin with.
I think
if you should blame anyone, you should blame the Punisher. The public... the Punisher. You should
blame the Punisher!
Yeah. I mean, it's Frank Castle's fault. You should blame the publisher. But I really don't think you need to blame anyone. I don't think it's... I think it's a non-issue.
I think
ultimately.
What it comes right down to is... do I agree with JMS being involved in Before Watchmen? No, I don't. Do I think that JMS shouldn't be allowed to publish self... creator-owned comics anymore? No, I don't think he shouldn't be allowed. Do I care one way or the other? No. And if it bothers you, that's fine. Don't support him then. Just don't buy his comics.
Yeah.
You know, like, but to be like, to say Image shouldn't let him work there, it's like, Image's job is to sell comic books.
All I want. That's exactly like, what I thought. I was like, Image is in the exact same business as Marvel and DC.
If it bothers people, and like, if people are upset about it and don't buy his comic, they'll stop printing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Image is not a charity.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, did you pick up 10 grand because JMS's name was on it or because Ben Templesmith's name was on it?
Ben Templesmith.
Right.
I don't like JMS.
JMS in like
it.
The creator-owned comics scene is not like a must-read name. In fact, in most scenes now, I'm just like, boy, he always starts strong and then fucking fizzles out like so bad. In everything I've ever read by him, he starts off really strong and then by the end, you're just like, what the fuck happened? His
like
Spider-Man
him.
Run, dude.
Don't like him.
Started off so good.
Really?
And then it got really bad. And there was like Gwen Stacy had babies with Norman Osborn before, and Spider-Man didn't know because she cheated on Peter Parker with Norman Osborn. And they had these weird baby clone things that got old really fast, like in that episode of X-Files. And they had to fight Peter Parker, and it was really stupid.
That's a good episode of
X-Files.
And
I was like, what the what? I mean, I'm not the guy who complains when they retcon stuff and change stuff, but having Gwen Stacy fuck the Green Goblin just seemed really weird. It's like, what happened?
And you know what?
What?
So his Superman run for Grounded is dog shit from beginning to end.
Well, I mean,
absolute
he quit halfway through it.
I know.
Somebody else, what I think is funny is that DC was just like, no, we can't let this die. Chris, just you write Superman now, but write it based on his story.
It's
Why wouldn't you just be like, so JMS fucked the dog. Why don't we have one issue? Like, do what Alan Moore did in Swamp Thing. Have one issue, wrap up all the storylines, and then go, okay, continue. Anatomy lesson. Bang. Yeah. Have Superman do an anatomy lesson. Superman turns into a plant. It's all good. Where do you start with Superman? Right there.
You know what's funny is... at the end of Grounded, when Chris Roberson is doing most of the work, it's way better.
Yeah,
I've and it's still that. Not good, but it's just absolutely horrendous. It's really, really awful. Anyway,
where do you start with bad comics like that?
Where do you start? I don't know.
Where do you even start? It's been a while since we talked about a comic book, so I'm going to talk about one. Although I think I'm going to make you talk about most of it because I was half asleep when I read this. I was really tired. I tried to read it twice, but I couldn't stay awake. But
it's That's Chin, not saying that the
which
book
is not
boring.
Yeah, I really like this book. It's Chin Music number 1 from Image Comics, home of that fucking asshole Chin. written by Steve Niles, who is an awesome creator, and art by Tony Harris, who's kind of a cunt, but he's got nice artwork. So,
I was just the art from the artist, bro.
Are there any fake geek girls in this comic, I wonder?
Yeah, he's a total douche, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of
Did
a dick.
That really depress you when you read that he turns out that he's an asshole?
No, I just thought it was really funny. I was like, what the fuck is with this? This guy's just like rambling about, next he's going to be saying like, there are bees in my brain, just like yelling and...
Because I was such a huge Ex Machina fan and Starman fan, and then I read that and I was like, that's kind of a bummer that he's such a piece of shit, but I guess he draws
pretty pictures.
Sometimes
talented people suck. Orson Scott Card is apparently a good writer, but he also hates gay
people. Roald Dahl defines so much of my childhood. Hates Jews. Absolute horrible person.
Not a fan of Jews.
Yeah, Roald Dahl was a dickhead.
Do you think it was specific Jews or just Jews in general?
Because it was like, his neighbor Lenny. He just didn't like that one Jew.
Lenny Riefenstahl, am I right? She was a Nazi. Rob, tell me what this book was about.
There's a mysterious man and he carves a magic sigil into the tip of a bullet and then he puts it
in... Do you remember... Just the Blackadder when
Baldrick.
What are you doing out there? I'm carving something on his bullet, sir. What are you carving? I'm carving Baldrick, sir. Why? It's a cunning plan, actually. Oh, of course it is. You know they say somewhere there's a bullet with your name on it. Yes. Well, I thought if I owned the bullet with my name on it, I'd never get hit by it because I won't ever shoot myself. Oh, shame. And the chances of there being two bullets with my name on them are very small indeed. Anyway, so
I tried so hard to do it in sync with you just to annoy
you. Just
haven't
watched it
listens.
As many times as I have. Yeah. So he carves this thing.
So he carves this magic sigil
into the
tip of a bullet, and then he puts it in
wax.
A weird little.
We're putting it on wax. It's the noosed Beastie Boys. Won't you let the
does
beat?
This magical
drop.
Puts it in this magic circle and then shoots a bullet out the window and you're like, whoa, where's that
going? Does it
going?
Go back in time? Is that what I'm supposed to be getting from
nope.
it? Nope. Oh, okay.
No, it just
well,
goes...
Well, then I thought that was when the Sphinx has got its nose busted off.
No. You were clearly asleep.
No, look, the nose...
No, it's not from that. Let me explain it.
Okay.
Okay. It's not from that at all. Then it shows this other guy. It may be the same guy. I'm pretty sure it's not. But it's this other guy who gets chased after by a bunch of crazy monks. And they chase him through the sky because they all reveal that they have superpowers. And they fly through the sky. And then as the guy's flying away from these monks, the monks catch up to him, turn him into an eviscerated corpse, rip off his jaw and throw him down. And he crashes through the Sphinx, destroying the face.
Oh, so it wasn't the bullet that knocked him
no,
off.
No, it was the
So dude. We did jump back in time, though. The bullet didn't.
Is this back in time, though?
Well, I don't know. When did the Sphinx get its nose blown off? I know the Sphinx is missing its nose.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
continue
it
explaining
may
the plot
have been
while
during
I look up the Sphinx.
It may have been during Prohibition of America.
I'm going to be honest. I know fuck all about the Sphinx.
Me neither. But anyway, this guy turns out not to be dead. He gets turned into a skeleton, and these strange cultists tell him, fuck off, or whatever. I don't know.
Hey, dick.
Get out of here. And the skeleton in some of the best Tony Harris work, or what we will now just refer to as that dingus's work. Some of the best of that dingus's work is through this sequence in the middle. And then a guy, it can't have been back in time because Elliot Ness finds the body.
Okay, because I think
to have
that
been
the
during
nose
Prohibition.
Got broken off, according to Wikipedia, like there's several stories, but some of them involve like Napoleon soldiers. Some of them saying it happened in 1378. So
okay, so this one says that it happened in the 20s.
Okay, I don't think that's true.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Nothing. Not people can't fly. That's another thing that's also true.
There's no truth in this art.
Anyway, who comes across the body is Elliot Ness.
I thought that was Elliot Ness.
Well, because he says, my name is Ness.
Yeah, but I thought maybe that was like an homage.
Oh, I see. No, he reveals that he's Elliot Ness that has found the body and so on and so forth. And then it goes back to the guy who shot the bullet from the beginning. And he's toasting right to the sky. So he toasts out to where he shot the bullet. And then it cuts to a scene with Al Capone. The person who is killed by the bullet is Al Capone.
He got blown. Okay, right.
So
okay,
he murders Al Capone.
Looking at this now, it does make sense.
You were
I was so tired
when you read this.
I was so asleep. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck.
So it's this crazy dude who assassinated Al Capone.
Where
using
do you start with the Sphinx?
Paganism. Where do you start with the Sphinx? And Elliot Ness, and it also follows Elliot Ness on his quest to bring down Al Capone. But in the middle of that untouchable story is weird cultists and magic and zombies and a bunch of cool stuff and some dingus who draws it.
Yeah, so the Sphinx got its nose, lost its nose in 1378 when a Sufi sheik thought the Sphinx was idolatrous and tried to blow it up.
Oh.
And his name was Saim al-Dar.
I'm pretty sure the Sphinx nose got blown off in 1920 and then Elliot Ness found the perpetrator of it within seconds. But I don't know. I've, you know, just
maybe it didn't
stuff
actually knock its nose off. Maybe it just landed on the nose.
Maybe.
Maybe this comic is a little too on the nose.
Boo.
Where do you start with jokes?
This podcast is just Rob laughs at Joey's jokes.
This podcast is Joey is really tired, so he's a little punch drunk. All right, I think it's time, Rob. It's time to break
time
it down.
Time.
Sound is a pound. Here we go.
Do you
want to quickly go over your free comic day, folks, first?
Oh, okay.
You can if
really
you don't want to. You don't
I'll
to
do it really
all
quickly.
All right, do it.
The Strangers,
I'm gonna get more water.
The Strangers by Chris Roberson and Scott Kowalczyk is a great new series. You should pick it up absolutely from Oni Press. Oh, I thought you were laughing at me. You were just hiccuping. The Star Wars Free Comic Book Day by Brian Wood and Ryan Odagawa is, I think, a 10-page mini story about whoever's working on this Star Destroyer trying to assassinate Darth Vader, and Darth Vader employs...
Is it like a Darth Vader Boba Fett team up?
It's fucking awesome, dude. That's exactly what it is.
It's that's what people really want.
Yeah, it's a Darth Vader Boba Fett team up where Boba Fett works for the highest bidder, who happens to be Darth Vader. And Darth Vader, there's an attempted assassination on his life, and they kick him out of the Star Destroyer, and he's like, but he depressurizes his suit and then stabs his lightsaber into the Star Destroyer and climbs back up right up to the cockpit where the guy who tried to assassinate him is looking out, and he's just like, I don't care about any civilian casualties or whatever, and he just breaks the glass, everyone flies out, and he just gets back in, and Boba Fett like kicks the shit out of all these. It's fucking great. It was 10 pages.
He's worth a
amazing
lot to me.
10 pages of amazing. By the way, the Star Wars this week was also 22 pages of amazing. Brian Wood writing Star Wars is just
good.
Peak. It's peak, bro. Infinity
so
was the
swag.
Infinity was the prologue to Infinity.
That's confusing.
To the new Marvel
Where
event.
Do I start with Infinity? Infinity.
Infinity.
Thank you. Doesn't Forever. Infinity mean like eternal shut up?
By Jonathan Hickman and Jim Shung. How do you pronounce his name? Shung?
Jimmy Choing, I think.
Jimmy
Choing or something like Choing. Choing. Choing.
No, that's awful. Jesus Christ.
Jim Chung.
And a really excellent short story leading or just building up the villains and showing where Thanos is and where he fits into all this stuff. It's Jonathan Hickman hasn't written anything that isn't amazing. Even the Avengers that came out this week that I was like, this wasn't my favorite, still an amazing comic book. And then past that there was a bunch of great just old reprints of Thanos stories.
Oh yeah,
which was great. And for Free Comic Book Day, that was it.
Cool. All right, now it's time for our Where do you start with favorites?
Where do you start with the thing you like
the most?
You
start with them right here. This was my favorite comic of the week. This was 12 Reasons to Die featuring Ghostface Killah. which is a comic adaptation sort of based on the story of his new album, which is also called 12 Reasons to Die.
Is it his new album?
Yeah, it just came out, and it's awesome.
Cool.
It's really good.
I love Ghostbusters.
So anyway, the story's by written by Matthew Rosenberg and Patrick Kindlin. Story by Adrian Young, Say Garcia, and Matthew Rosenberg, but created by Ghostface Killah and Adrian Young. This is confusing. Where do you start? Illustrated, there's two stories in here, The Lead Years and The Dead Years. The Dead Years is illustrated by Bruno Tamura, and The Dead Years is by Gus Storms. There's also some art by Carl Strom, Joe Infernari, and Dave Murdoch. Bunch of folk. Anyway, oh, that was a Shaky Kane cover. Damn, I wish I got that one. Whatever.
What cover did you get?
I don't know. This one. It's good. It looks like Christopher Mitten, actually.
It looks like Morgan Jeske.
It's not.
Oh.
Shut up. Might have been, I think I may have got the Christopher Mitten one. Anyway, also, this comic was executive produced by the RZA.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Also, it's produced by Soul Temple Entertainment and Black Mass Studios. This is the most complicated title page of any comic. So, it's just this really cool story about these Italian mobsters. So, the whole first part of the story is just talking about these Italian mobsters coming up through the years and how they end up getting a little bit too comfortable and stopping as cautious. And at the end, Anthony Starks, who is one of the names that Ghostface Killah goes by. Sometimes Tony Stark, Anthony Starks. Anthony Starks was a fucking weapon. And he shows up and goes, "Niggas heard y'all run the game around here. We got shit to talk about, you know what I'm saying?"
I don't know how to react to
that. I'm saying.
I have, sorry, died. There are no words.
I don't, my cadence there was very Bill Cosby. "Heard y'all run the game, Rudy, the jello pudding, derp, derp, derp." And then the second part,
Bill Cosby never said derp, derp,
derp. "The jello pudding, the Rudy, we get to the pudding." It has to do with this guy getting killed by sheep and stuff, and then there was like an auction for records, because basically the premise of the record is like there's these 12 people who died while listening to these while these records are playing, and so they have to acquire all 12 in order to summon this eternal, basically it's the spirit of Anthony Stark's Ghostface Killah. It's the premise of the album is this: is if you play these 12 records, you can bring Anthony Starks back, the Ghostface Killah. Yeah. And then but also cool is in the back, there's a 4-page preview of the new Derek Robertson and Adam Egypt Mortimer book.
What? I didn't know.
Called Ballistic.
Sweet.
Ian looks pretty cool.
Derek Robertson is so good.
There's also in the back an Occupy Comics ad. Also a Adrian Young presents the Delphonics. I think that's like a new album coming out from Soul Temple. From Wax Poetics Records. And there's also there's this great ad for this like clothing line and merch line album sales called Razor and Tie Ain't Nothing to Fuck With. And I don't want any of these
remember
albums.
Wu-Tang? Remember in Wu-Tang Clan?
They still
are. Nothing to Fuck
they have a new
With.
Album coming.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like a callback to something.
Well, of the 5 albums they advertise on this page, I have one of them, the Sword album, and it's fucking awesome with the cover art by J.H. Williams III.
I've heard that.
It's really good.
I've heard that album.
They're a really good band. And then also there's an ad for the 12 Reasons to Die album. It's such a good album. It's so good. So yeah, I really enjoyed this comic. It's like part cool ghost story, part awesome mob comic with kick-ass Ghostface Killah dude.
Is it just a miniseries?
I don't know. It says first issue on it, but I'm going to read it.
I want to get a bunch of the stuff that comes up from Black Mask. I think
yeah.
I picked that book up. I don't know why I didn't.
Hey, and you might find this interesting. The guys who are let me start again. The three guys who are behind Black Mask Studios are Steve Niles, Matt Pizzolo, I don't know who that is, and Brett Gerwitz.
What?
Brett Gerwitz is the other punk.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because Steve Niles is like a huge like DIY punk rocker from back in the day.
Yeah.
So I guess him and Brett Gerwitz are... I'm assuming it's the same Brett Gerwitz.
It has to be the same Brett Gerwitz. Gerwitz of Epitaph Records and of Bad Religion.
Didn't he leave and come back to Bad Religion? Isn't he the guitar player?
Yeah, he was in Bad Religion till Stranger Than Fiction, and then
he came back for Process of Belief.
Process of Belief.
Is he still in the band?
He left. Yeah, he's still in the band now. He doesn't play with them live because he owns Epitaph, which is not only the biggest punk record label, it's one of the biggest record labels.
Did you know Bad Religion put out a new album this year called True North?
True North, yeah.
Is it good?
I haven't heard it yet. But the last one they did, The Descent of Man, was really good. It was excellent, actually. Greg Graffin never stops being a genius lyricist. Bad Religion never stops being one of my favorites.
I think the last Bad Religion album I listened to was New Maps of Hell.
That's not particularly good.
I didn't mind that one.
It's good, but it's not... half as good as Process of Belief or any of the post, like, just Graffin.
My favorite is Suffer. Suffer and No Control are my favorites.
That's because they're the best.
And I also really like New America, which is the one that
That's all Graffin.
Yeah, because it does not sound like punk rock.
Yeah.
The whole album is just... There's a song about computers.
Yeah, that's... Okay,
I love
was,
my computer.
It was no sub... There was No Substance, The Gray Race, New America.
I like New America.
And there was, I think, one more that was without Gerwitz that was all Graffin. Greg Graffin wrote it all. And all that
Empire
stuff
Strikes
is less...
Is good too.
Less really fast, and it was all...
I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah. But Suffer and No Control and Against the Grain are still my favorite Bad Religion albums.
Well, maybe it's...
I love Bad Religion. Seriously love Bad Religion. But Brett Gurewitz is a genius. Like, the reason why punk really blew up in, like, the 90s, especially for underground and independent punk, was because of Brett Gurewitz and because of Epitaph.
I watched a documentary that'll never, ever get released because, ironically, punk rock labels are fucking really douchey about... clearing music for documentaries,
right.
Ironically. Yeah, there's a documentary called 1994, which would have been amazing,
yeah.
But it would cost like 10 times the budget of the entire movie to get the song clearances.
What?
It's never going to be released ever.
You know who else is signed to Epitaph Records? Tom Waits and Nick Cave.
I didn't know that.
They're on Anti, yeah.
I don't...
Anti is Brett Gurewitz.
Yeah.
That's just a subsidiary of Epitaph. It's the same thing, they just put a different label on it because... punks who go and buy records that just because they're on Epitaph would pick up a Tom Waits record and go, what the fuck is this?
This is it's not fast. Why not? Where do I start? Anyway, what was your favorite?
My favorite was Suicide Squad number 20 by Alesh Kott and Patrick Zercher. I was really happy with this series because I was excited when I heard that they were putting Alesh Kott on this book. I know Alesh Kott writes a lot of really esoteric stuff that people don't necessarily like. Wild Children, I know a lot of people...
By people, you mean your brother!
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus! Oh. Look at that booty!
I loved Wild Children. It was one of my favorite one-shots of the past couple of years, and I really liked Change, even though it took me a bunch of reads to actually feel that I could say I had an opinion about it, because I was like... I don't know what am I reading? I don't get it.
I ain't got nobody.
But in much the same way that Grant Morrison made that transition from, say, jumping from writing like a really weird esoteric Animal Man to then jumping on JLA and just writing a good superhero book, I think Alesh Kott actually made that transition really well, and did it in and also did it with a book that has a lot of Doom Patrol tones to it. Like,
I like the Doom Patrol.
I love the Doom Patrol. This is actually the first Suicide Squad comic I've ever read. I've never read a Suicide Squad comic.
Oh man, you know, the original Suicide Squad book was so good, and
yeah.
Then I read the first 8 issues of this one, and
the
I
Adam
fucking
Glass
hated
stuff.
It.
It's supposed to be horrendously
bad. Oh, I hated
bad.
It so much.
But this stuff was really cool. It was easy to jump onto.
Who is the unknown soldier in this book?
Since this issue,
oh, okay.
I think. Or maybe before.
Is
but...
a character name classified?
Just wait. It's actually really
cool.
Yeah, that's not his character name. It's
King
very cool.
Shark.
Yeah, King Shark. You've got Harley Quinn. You've got unknown soldier. Voltaire? I don't know.
Voltaire.
They've got Voltaire.
I do like the unknown soldier hitting Voltaic with a club, and then the Scrabble letters go up and it says Crunk.
Right? Wasn't that funny?
I think that's funny.
But he writes a really grounded superhero story, and also grounded in the sense that it's not just exposition poetry in the background that you're reading over top of all these images going, what the fuck are you babbling about? Which is basically what Change is. And as nerdy as I am, and I love that stuff, I understand 99% of people think that that's bullshit. So it's an easy to jump on book. It's a real great introduction to the characters. Really great introduction to Amanda Waller, and Amanda Waller is a total psycho in this book. It's great. And then
the classified character is very cool.
Very cool. He narrates the whole book.
I might give a chance to this book then, because that was pretty great. Lend me that comic. Leave it on my kitchen table.
Okay, you'd
mind.
Like it.
I would like to try to read it.
Really
so.
Loved it. Because
I love the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
The old Suicide Squad book is one of... I have the entire run. It's so fucking good.
I
want
to read it. I have to go back and read it.
But you can borrow it. It's in
the
box upstairs.
The Zercher... art in it is really good. Basically, the premise of this was Amanda Waller showing who Classified, who they eventually reveal in the last page,
who Classified
is now,
was.
Yeah.
He's a Canadian rap artist.
Yeah. And They reveal who he is in the last page, but basically she's introducing him to the team because he's now going to be an integral member of the team. And there's a really creepy thing he says in like the last page.
Everything that character says always is creepy all the time.
Where
no
he
what.
Says, Miss Waller, would it be all right if I called you mother? It would allow me to concentrate. And it frightened me, and it was also just...
That's because you're a pussy.
I am. but basically, they put all the members of the Suicide Squad through these tests just to, again, prove that they're under their thrall, that they have no control over their actions, and Amanda Waller understands the psyche of every single person in their Belrive prison and understands exactly what makes them tick. And knows every single one of their moves, so they're never going to escape. They also, in this book, established that they've unlocked a way to consistently revive you. So even though, so you serve a life sentence with the Suicide Squad, but it's going to be a long time because every time you die, you just keep coming back,
which is
super. They say that to Deadshot in it. Deadshot is another member who is like, you've come back to life 2 times, and it's not an ability of yours, it's an ability of ours.
That's
which
cool.
means that you're going to be in the most cyclical prison of your life, my friend.
That's cool.
And it's
I'm
dark
still
and
bummed out
and,
that Amanda Waller is thin.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
She used to be fat.
Now
she's
thin. They try to make her sexy, which is just kind of a testament to the tone of a lot of DC comics. Like,
he's in your dad's comics. My dad's comics were good.
Yeah, what the fuck does it need to be sexy? Who gives a shit? Can you just tell me a good story? But Alish Kott writing Suicide Squad, this apparently sold out. I think it's going to do really well. Whoa.
Like from DC or from just the store?
No, from DC.
Wow.
Yeah, for a new 52 book, especially, stop doing that.
Hey, look at my gut fur.
I'm not looking at your gut, Joey. I'm looking where it
Both.
Says don't
look
go
at his
on
gut.
Shabbos.
Truly, and I'm just reading where it says man cool.
Anyway, Suicide Squad number 20.
Well,
Patrick
this
Gertrude
has been
rules.
A lot of fun, and I would
it
love to keep talking, but I have to poop.
Okay.
So we're going to wrap it up. Y'all, thanks for listening. Next week, hopefully
turns.
We'll feature the return of Ryan, and who knows, maybe we'll have our good buddy Chris back in the mix.
Back in the mix.
And then you can ask the question, where do I start with the Geeks Stampede Comics Roundup? And the answer is next week. Don't listen to this one.
Stop
listen to
listening
it,
now.
You need to get a pen and put it in your ear and push until you forget all of this. But then if they forget and they listen to it again, then they'll have to do it to the other.
If they've taken a pen and pushed it in their ear that deep to the point where they've lost their memory, they've also probably lost their life.
Not necessarily. This is a very... No, it's a very like precise procedure. Have you never done this?
I can't remember. Maybe I have.
Well, until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Robbie G.
And we don't... Do I have a... I love you.
I love you,
Wasn't
bye.
Wasn't that our sign off?
Yeah.
Okay, I love you.